This is the Truth Frequency Radio Network.
We are TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Welcome to Angry Beaver Radio here on TruthFrequencyRadio.com. Today is Saturday, October the 11th, 2014, on this live edition of Angry Beaver Radio. And we're here with our co-hosts. We've got Mark, Michael, Daniel, and myself. John, how's it going, gentlemen?
Great, thank you. How about you?
Well, other than, I'm not sure, I've got a bit of the sniffles and a cough here. I'm not sure if I got some of that Ebola syndrome going on. I don't know.
Call the hazmat team.
The hazmat crew.
The no hazmat.
Did you call the
no protection team?
Yeah. Did you call the World Health Organization hotline?
I think I might have put myself into a self quarantine zone.
Really? Wow. That's. I'm sorry to hear that, John. I mean, that's
not the Ebola. It's the old. I got the Ebola syndrome.
Yeah, Ebola.
Yeah. My Obama phone battery died. Can't find my charger.
Wow.
Yeah, you can't really joke about the Ebola.
Yeah, really.
No?
Forget about snakes on a plane, huh?
Yeah. What's with the joking about Ebola on a plane or something? What happened there?
It's some kind of flight from, it was from Philadelphia to some, I think it was a place in South America. And then a passenger made a joke, and then they brought on the guys in the outbreak suits. They made everyone stay seated like one, while they're on the tarmac.
Wow.
And they removed the guy, and then as they're removing the guy that made the joke, he said something about, he's not from Africa. He's in the clip. He's like, I'm not from Africa.
Oh, man.
That's how serious it's getting. It's like even a joke. I don't know. I guess like an airplane is a place you can't really joke. Like that's one thing you say you can't joke about, like Taliban or Al Qaeda or something, because then they'll pull you off with like a SWAT team. Probably this, at least they pull them off with an outbreak team.
Yeah, no Al Qaeda jokes on the plane, or no Ebola jokes on the plane. How about Ebola jokes? jokes acceptable on the plane? President Barack Hussein Ebola.
But I think this was definitely a major thing for the media, because everyone pulls out, like, the stewardess and stuff. They're not getting people. They announce it before the outbreak guys come on, everyone to remain seated, but they don't tell them to not film it. So they're all, like, almost everybody in every seat has their Obama phone out filming these guys, these hazmat guys come on the plane, or outbreak guys.
So they had their Ebola phone out.
Yeah.
Filming. The whole situation.
Wow. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, so it's like there's clips everywhere.
Did they let the guy go afterwards, or is he in custody now, or what's happening with that?
Yeah, it's unknown. Hopefully he just doesn't have the symptoms, but if he has the symptoms, they can keep him in quarantine check. Because also this week they announced there's six screeners six different airports in Canada are now screeners, including the Toronto one.
That figures.
And they're for temperature screening or something, so they're trying to see if you're overheated.
Do you think that's a good idea, or do you still think it's invading your privacy?
Well, temperature screening, I think, could be, you could just eat some spicy food, or, have a cold or something, and then you get a higher temperature, and they'll throw you in a quarantine. That's the scary part.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyone with a fever is now going to
be
scanned by these machines and then possibly sent into quarantine. Now, here's the other thing, is that these scanners are only scanned for a fever, and that's not going to stop somebody with the early stages of Ebola who isn't showing symptoms. It's not going to stop them from walking through because they're not going to have a fever at this point. So it's not, you know, it's not really an effective screener. It's, to me, it's just more propaganda. Like, they've got Ebola screenings begin at JFK four more airports to start next week. And that's these, you know, these heat screeners. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, same ones as Toronto.
Yeah. So this is basically just for people that are flying in and out, not people just walking through the door.
It can be effective to catch people with it that have a fever, you know, but again, what's the point? I mean, I did take the GO train here in Toronto, and
there's always people sneezing, right? Always people sneezing.
The whole train was sick.
Yeah.
The entire train. I took it 8 times. The whole train every time was completely sick. I didn't spot one person who wasn't coughing or sneezing.
Yeah, that's the TTC is like that too.
Yeah, it's a joke.
So do these machines, are they replacing, let's say, radiation machines, or are they replacing pat downs?
No.
Of course, they'd have. What?
No, it just reads temperature.
An additional screening now, yeah.
What if happens if you're outside jogging and you decided to go inside? No,
makes sense that they're going to have it like in, they've got a quarantine area, or there's a few places like in Africa that they claim it's coming from, so they're going to do it there, but they didn't really announce if it's from every country or it's just a few countries. And now with the way they've been saying it's spreading, it's like people in Spain have it, they're going to kill a dog in Spain or something because a woman got it. It's like, it's a worldwide thing, because, if they had to screen everyone that comes on a flight from Spain, that's a lot. Plus, that's in the European Union, so then they could say everyone in the European Union, and then...
Yeah. Now, if you heard on the news, lamestream news, that they're sending the military to these countries because of the Ebola so-called outbreak.
What's the military going to do there?
They're fighting Ebola.
Lock
them down.
I know with what. You know.
Shooting it with the AR-15s, or they, you know, using A-10 Warthogs to provide air support.
It's got to be flying syringes. Flying syringes, and then they're going to give them a touch.
Sounds like you're playing a game on your, a new app for your phone.
Hey. Just got an airplane made of paper and put an attach to it. Okay, sorry guys, go ahead.
We shouldn't joke about something this serious.
Yeah, some joke about something serious. Is that serious or what? You know, I haven't seen any proof that Ebola even exists. So how can I not stop laughing? You know. Just because the lamestream media says it exists, or you have H1N1 again, you just have the cold symptoms or the flu, whatever, you know, like there's no proof.
Well, what about what Dr. Carley said, that the CDC has a patent on Ebola?
Mm-hmm. So I got patent numbers anyway as well.
So is she lying or what? Mm-hmm. Or she doesn't know?
I don't know. I haven't went to the CDC website to see if there is an actual patent. So,
yeah.
Shall wait and see.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting in the next few months, because everything's going to be out of control right now, and people buying into propaganda. But I talked to one lady on the bus, and I was just coming home, and we talked about this Ebola thing and everything else, and she says, you know, I have a feeling something is not right here. I have a feeling something isn't right. And I said, yeah, well, CDC have a patent on Ebola, so they could do anything they want with it. You know? It was probably just a flu, and they just changed the name and called it Ebola and said, okay, it's going to be very contagious, and we got to fight this thing. So it's probably just a regular flu. It's probably what it is, if anything. And besides, there's no such thing as flu season anyway. It's just the time of year it is, where we don't get as much sun and all that kind of stuff. And so there's no actual flu season. But all you do is see these Asians walking around with umbrellas in the middle of the summer because they don't want to get the sun. So I bet you they're going to be sick all winter long because they weren't getting the sun that they, or the vitamin D that they were supposed to be getting.
Look, we have a solution right here at Angry Beaver Radio for this Ebola outbreak. And, you know, if folks want to purchase this type of product, your contribution really helps this broadcast possible. And it's the new X3 nascent unicorn urine. Angry Beaver, brought to you by Angry Beaver Radio. And it's guaranteed to fight and destroy all Ebola, H1N1, and the New World Order, or for only $39.95.
Really?
Yes, the X3 nascent unicorn urine. And
really?
You know, your purchase helps fund this broadcast. So
strictly really? Organic, fluoride free.
Yeah. That's a great idea. Where do we purchase this, John?
Just over there at angrybeaverradio.wordpress.com. You can get the X3 nascent unicorn urine. You can also get the colloidal leprechaun urine.
All these good things, all these natural organic things. Why? We should have done this a long time ago. I don't know. It's better to be aware of all these kind of things so you can be able to take precautions. So what's wrong with urine? There's nothing wrong with it.
Especially if it's nascent form. I mean, you know, the other brands, they're not nascent, you know.
Yeah.
Anyways, enough of the joking around with the Ebola cures. Ebola cures. But, I haven't noticed anyone with Ebola. But, yeah, I guess from what you guys are saying out in Toronto, it's pretty bad. And all throughout the GTA, everyone seems to be sick with the flu. With some type of cold flu. I think it's more of a flu than a cold.
Yeah.
Well, a lot in my area, I don't see any differences year by year. Sometimes, maybe 2 years ago, more people had a cough or a cold, and it hasn't really, gone either way. I've run into one or two people. That's about it.
I guess
other than that, I don't know what's going on.
When it breaks out and there's a flu that breaks out or whatever, everyone seems to get it, and nobody, when everybody's sick, most people don't stop going anywhere. They just go out and they contaminate everything. So, I mean, all these screening measures are useless because no one's going to abide by them. You know,
people want, exactly.
Going to work. They don't care. They're like, whatever. The whole entire train all week was coughing and sneezing. There's snot everywhere. It was gross, really. And that's why I'm sick, because I had to take the train, the public transit, the Agenda 21 sustainable flying train, to work.
Yeah,
and I got sick.
Yeah, isn't really that you were? I think they. I think you went in the wrong car. You went in the quarantine car.
Probably where they had Ebola patients.
Yeah, that's what happened. You were in the wrong car.
Well, that's the thing. Now it's like, at least in the subways in downtown Toronto, they've got the ones that are just one large car. It's like basically you could walk from one end to the other without ever leaving the train.
Yeah. So
and they're full.
Yeah, it doesn't even, there's no little separate compartments to, you know, keep it contained, right? So the whole train just gets sick as soon as one person walks on. It's great.
Exactly, and in rush hour, it's like basically you can't even like really move. It's like hard to breathe in there as it is, so it's scary to think if there's a sickness going around.
Yeah, it's scary when somebody farts on that train.
Oh.
Yeah, that's true. It's like all kinds of people in the city, so it's like some people don't do hygiene.
Yeah, so that means that the Ebola becomes airborne, doesn't it?
I don't know. I haven't looked into the transmission of Ebola through flatulence.
Well, hopefully they just pressure wash these trains every night. Hopefully that'll clean it.
Yeah. Just like they did with what happened to a guy in Texas that had it.
Yeah, they say he passed away this week, right?
Though. Yeah, passed away. Mm-hmm. But the family in the house were told to stay in the house. Don't leave. They quarantined the people in the house that had the Ebola in it in the first place. And then they got all bored and decided to leave the house and mingle with the people outside. What is that? And I had this poor guy that had no protective equipment power washing the sidewalk and spreading all this stuff all over the place. Guys threw up on the sidewalk, and this guy coming with no protective equipment whatsoever, hosing down the sidewalk, well, spreading all this.
That's the question. Like, is all this ridiculous negligence all being highlighted by the mainstream media for a reason? I mean, is this all just, is any of this true? You know, I know the mainstream media reported it and showed video, but I mean, it could get any moron with a pressure washer to spray aside and claim it's anything, right? I'm starting to question how much of this reporting of them, the officials, dropping the ball on this is just hype and propaganda to hype the scare of Ebola.
Yeah. Well, look at work. One girl came in holding her mouth. And went into the bathroom, threw up in the sink. You know who had to clean that up? Me, yours truly, had to clean that up.
Could have been Ebola.
But I'm there's no problem with me. I'm fine.
Well, I salute myself. I salute President Barack Hussein Ebola with a coffee cup in my hand.
You're not going to share that cup with anybody, are you?
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Coffee cup?
No, you didn't hear. He came off what did he jump off Air Force One saluting the troops with?
You got to quarantine yourself there, John, this week.
He jumped, Barack Hussein Obama jumped off of Air Force One and saluted the troops with a coffee cup in his hand.
Yeah, exactly. I saw that.
You didn't see that?
dumb.
Highly addictive, caffeine.
Yeah, can't put it down.
Okay. Now everybody's going to go out and salute with cups in their hands.
Yes,
except Dr. Cornel West. He was he had some words for Obama this week or something. As the report is called Obama the black face of the American Empire or something.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Really.
Wow.
Wouldn't doubt it. Wouldn't doubt
with the Ebola thing, if I get a cold, I get a cold. It usually lasts 7 days and no more. So, I don't know. I think I agree with you, John. They're just hyping it up. Maybe Ebola does exist, but they're making it bigger than it really is. I think that's what the deal is about.
Yeah, there's got to be all kinds
of course, maybe to get us all vaccinated.
Of diseases that exist, because they've been making these for years, like that's what the ancient alchemists used to do, right? Was make all kinds of, it's like germ warfare back in the medieval times or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, I think that's what they're doing is hyping it up quite a bit. And, what happened back in the Middle Ages? We, people that had money or were well off could afford, like silver. You know, they didn't have the cheap silverware that we have today, all the cheap stuff here, stainless steel. They had real silverware. And what they did is they put the spoons in their mouth and was basically they would just sit around and sucking the silver from the spoon. That's where you got the saying, born with a silver spoon in your mouth. So that's what they did in those days.
Right, yeah, because it says the silver is supposed to be doesn't get attract the germs as much or something.
Yes, yeah, exactly, yeah, for sure.
Healthier.
Yeah, and hemp oil that will even help too as well. Because we're visiting my uncle in the hospital. He had to have an operation at St. Joseph's and that creepy hospital. So I made sure I took my hemp oil. I took some of it. And then to go there, because you don't know what you're going to pick up in a place like that. Place kind of creepy because it's old, like 100 years old.
Yeah, I don't like going to the hospital because yeah, it's exactly what you said. That's where you're going to pick something bad up. You're totally healthy. You go in and out and visit somebody in the hospital, come out sick or something. That's
yeah, yeah. Or they have a bed for you waiting.
Yeah, it's hospitals where you go to die, it seems.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't see much difference between the hospital and the graveyard.
Yeah. So they might have a graveyard in the back there somewhere.
And under Obamacare, that's what they're doing. They're just converting the graveyards and putting the new hospital on the outside of the sign.
Yeah, exactly.
Great.
So what I did, I left some flyers on a table. like vaccine flyers and stuff like that.
So right. I made sure. I'm sure maintenance would have been around to throw that in the garbage. So. Well, yeah, they always come around, you know.
Hopefully they'll read it before they do that.
Yeah.
So did you hear Gwyneth Paltrow held this thing at her house with President Barack Hussein Obama and did some speech, and she told the crowd, "It would be wonderful if we were able to give this man all the power that he needs to pass the things that he needs to pass." She cited sustainable energy efforts as well as Obama's push for equal pay, which she called very important to me as a working mother. And it's just that is, I don't know, Gwyneth Paltrow and President Obama's appearance at the house. It's just ridiculous. So she wants President Obama to have tyrannical dictatorial powers to push forward with the United Nations Agenda 21 is basically what she's talking about.
Yeah.
And the push for equal pay, which she called very important to me as a working mother, and she tries to relate to working women, is a joke. This woman's worth, what, millions of dollars?
Yeah, exactly.
How can she relate to to the average working woman?
Yeah, when she gets paid good money.
She's some rich elitist with a huge mansion who has President Obama at her house for dinners. And that pushes, you know, globalist UN propaganda there. Saying that, wouldn't it be wonderful if we were able to give this man all the power that he needs to pass the things that he needs to pass? And then she cites sustainable energy efforts.
But I thought he was above the law anyway.
Oh, yeah, according to him.
Yeah.
According to the bankers that employ him and the corporations that employ him. The same ones employed Bush and Clinton.
Who wrote her speech anyway, does it say, John?
Pardon me?
Who wrote Gwyneth's speech, do you know?
Oh, I don't know who wrote it. Didn't say.
She didn't write it, I'm sure.
I don't know. It was at her house, so it's probably meant to come off as if she wrote it. But
yeah. I think it came out through the fax machine. That's what they did.
Yeah, they just
telefax?
UNESCO just faxed it over to her house?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm sure
there is it is a lot of Hollywood parties that support Obama. Remember that when the last election, all the Democrats, I guess even the 2008 too, all the Democrats are like the Hollywood elite.
Yep.
So all I see is some rich person supporting, you know, themselves, that they should be rich and everybody else should be poor, completely dirt poor. There should be no middle class, you know. It's about wiping out the middle class. So Gwyneth Paltrow is just some rich piece of scumbag pretending she cares, but she really just wants to wipe out the middle class. She wants to be, you know, queen status, you know, and she's probably not even worth that much. I don't know. It's Gwyneth Paltrow. I mean, how much does she honestly have? But
one lady I heard they gave her an award or something like that. Was it her? An award for something. I don't know.
There's a controversial thing with Gwyneth Paltrow in Hollywood, though, because she's like, I think she's got a website where she supports like different kind of products and natural health stuff, and like, she's got a whole thing questioning some of the cosmetics and stuff. And then I think there's a thing where Hollywood turned against her, but obviously, if she's got Obama support, though, she's still got a lot of friends.
Yeah, big time.
Sure. I think she just recently got divorced or something from her. She was married to the guy that runs the Coldplay band.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So she's probably out of it now, but hopefully she's not having an affair with Obama. But that's what, you know, presidents throughout history, they've been rumored to have affairs with some of the most famous women. Even the, like JFK, they said, had an affair with Marilyn Monroe.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what if Paltrow was having an affair with Manchel Obama?
Manchel. That could happen.
Manchel Obama.
It's an upgrade from Coldplay.
Yeah. Angelina Jolie. Wasn't she awarded with something?
Yeah, no. Yeah, that's what it was. It was she met the queen, and then she's bowing to the queen, and they're shaking hands.
Why? Like, what did Angelina Jolie do?
Some, I think she, the... It was because she's highlighted sexual violence against women. But then you see that Angelina Jolie is like, that's what she's famous for, is being like a violent, like sexual actress. Like,
she ran around advocating that women preemptively cut off their breasts without any diagnosis of cancer.
Well, it's the preventive measure, John.
Double mastectomy, so you don't have breast cancer, you don't have any tumors, you're just like, well, in order to prevent, me ever getting breast cancer, you're just going to cut it off. I mean, that's ridiculous. And she ran around promoting that crap, and now she gets awards, and the Queen, shaking hands with the Queen, and she's also a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. It's probably more ceremonial, and they just use her, she's now in status for their top propaganda nonsense.
I thought you weren't supposed to shake the Queen's hand.
Oh, I don't know. Never really studied.
I thought I heard that. Yeah.
Us commoners were not allowed to do that.
No. Well, she could be beyond commoner now.
Yeah, with her new status, yeah.
Tony Stark's girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, even a good actor that doesn't sell out their morals and values, it's like, really, what do they contribute to society? They're an actor. They just run around pretending.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, even one who's moral and doesn't, engage in a bunch of nonsense propaganda in order to get money on the side. So what? What did they do for society? What did they contribute? Nothing. They ran around and pretend.
Maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it.
Well, we've got a break coming up, guys. We've got to contribute to that.
Rating tunes.
Collapse. We'll be right back.
The whole building just collapsed on us inside the lobby.
Was that a secondary explosion?
Yes, it was.
That was the planet probably.
Yeah, definitely a secondary explosion. But we was inside waiting to go upstairs. And on our way upstairs.
So, you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear? Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRA. Worldwide.
A sudden change in the wind. The day grows dark as ominous clouds move in. And lightning begins to carve arcs in the sky. And you realize you are not prepared.
I'm telling you, take cover.
The number of intense storms is increasing exponentially in the U.S. Tornadoes, hurricanes, flooding, and droughts are happening with greater magnitude and frequency. If you are choosing to rely on the government to save you,
and no one's coming to help them,
you could be dead wrong. The first step towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to MyPatriotSupply.com. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48. Visit us online or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. Did you know there are 3 million edible food plants on Earth, and none have the nutritional value of the hemp plant? HempUSA.org offers you hemp protein powder. It does not contain chemicals or THC, is non-GMO, and is 100% gluten-free. Hemp protein powder burns fat, builds muscle, contains 53% protein, and feeds the body the nutrients it needs. Call 888-910-4367 and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
The White Buffalo with John Phillips.
Tuesday through Thursdays on Truth Frequency Radio.
What is at stake is more than one small country. It is a big idea, a new world order.
What if what they really want is for us to herd children in the stadiums like we're doing and put soldiers on the street and have Americans looking over their shoulders, bend the law, shred the Constitution just a little bit? Because if we torture him, General, we do that and everything that we have bled and fought and died for is over. And they've won.
Welcome back to Angry Beaver Radio here on truthfrequencyradio.com. And I've got this here, guys, from CTV News here in Kanatistan. Activist Nobel Peace Prize highlights endemic child labor in India. Patina, India. What does it have here? Children's rights activist Kailash Satyarthi left. And Mala Yousafzai, I can't pronounce these names. Anyway, won some Nobel Peace Prize. And I guess my point here is this prize doesn't mean anything anymore. Didn't Obama win the Nobel Peace Prize before he was even elected to office? Once he was elected to office, continued to drone bomb brown children remote controlly from the sky.
I'm still trying to figure out why he received it. I still haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know anything about this activist. I can't even pronounce their names. And they may have well done some great work. And it's a shame that the Nobel Peace Prize doesn't mean anything, you know. It's almost like they use real activists in order to, you know, so when the next person, say Hillary Clinton or Jeb Bush, gets the next Nobel Peace Prize, you know, they get to hide behind the good actions of this lady.
I think they get the Nobel Peace Prize because Obama got it because he attended the Bilderberg Group.
Yeah, but this person didn't attend the Bilderberg Group. They just did some activist work, humanitarian work or some, you know. So they're hiding behind the work of these humanitarians. One year they give it to some humanitarian worker or whatever, and the next year they give it to some scammer, somebody who drone bombs brown people.
Yeah, you're right, John. The whole thing has become ridiculous now. It doesn't. The real meaning of it, it's not there anymore. Not the way it used to be. So it's been abused and reused and everything else. So it doesn't mean anything anymore. After Obama got it, they just kicked it to the curb. Something you can find in a box of Lucky Elephant or something.
Yeah, they should give Hitler the Nobel Peace Prize. Or Joseph Stalin or Mao Zedong.
Yeah, Olivia Chow should get it too, right?
Olivia Chow Zedong?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about Kim Jong-un? Apparently he's not been around for a while.
Yeah, I haven't seen him. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, well, we never see him. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's the deal with the hype of they can't find Kim Jong-un. I mean, what, they don't talk to him anyway. What, his public appearances have been very frequent, so they're just hyped.
Exactly. That's why they should just go to Dennis Rodman. He would know.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe they want to assassinate Kim Jong-un, and he's in hiding, so now they're trying to call him out on it. Oh, come on out, you chicken. I don't know. Who knows what's going on over there? They got a friggin' airstrip that goes into a mountain. Does any other country got a friggin' air base that goes into a mountain? It's like Dr. Evil's secret lair or something.
Or Batcave or something.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
But I don't know. Are they in negotiations with South Korea? Because I heard somewhere that they want to actually combine both Koreas together.
That's who's they?
Well, the elites want to create one big Korea. Hmm. Maybe that's what's happening. Who knows?
Maybe so that way they can try to control North Korea now? Is that maybe the reason? Because they can't seem to control them.
It could be, because Dennis Rodman is basically North Korean's spokesman for the United States. Right? So I wouldn't doubt it. Because you need to, to get a New World Order in, you got to unionize all these continents together. So what a way to do it with North and South Korea under one umbrella. The plan's already there, they're just putting all the pieces together, that's all, incrementally.
There's so many, fighting, amongst or arguments amongst the people anyway of North and South Korea. They don't seem to like each other because I don't know if it's the West always demonizing North Korea and getting the South Koreans to hate them or what, but I don't know. There's a little bit of tension between those two.
Maybe North Korea doesn't want to have anything to do with the New World Order. Maybe they want to be separate from everybody else, and they don't want to have any corruption. Maybe that's what they want. I don't know.
I don't see any time soon a North and South Korea uniting. Just from the military build up, it's the most highly built up militarized zone in the planet. Is that border? So, I don't see it de-escalating anytime soon. I'm not saying a war is going to break out, but I don't foresee it.
Yeah,
the hype around Kim Jong Un, them not finding it. I saw it all over. What was it, CNN?
Yeah.
And it's CNN. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't even mean that he's missing,
No. He's just afraid to take a vacation.
Yeah. Kim Jong-un doesn't check in with CNN. Ever.
No. So, I don't see him on there talking about anything.
Yeah. He doesn't got a link to CNN. CNN got a direct link to communicate with Kim Jong-un. I mean, there's no communication going on, so.
There's a communication barrier.
Yeah. I don't know what the deal is. I don't see North and South Korea getting along anytime soon.
Well, look at the Korean War. It never really ended.
Exactly.
It was just a ceasefire.
Right.
So they can break the ceasefire anytime they want.
Yeah, that's partly why I say that, because you're right. It's they haven't undeclared the war. It's a ceasefire, so the war's still technically ongoing and could resume.
Yeah.
Basically. And that's why they kept it so militarized on that border.
That's right. I was going to say that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you look at the North Korean airstrips around it, you can see, like, compared to other countries like Canada or other smaller countries relative size, they're pretty heavy duty. They got a friggin' air base that goes into a mountain and out the other side.
Wow.
So I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that when our media reports that all they have is some, old MiG-15s kicking around that can't even fly, I don't think they're being honest with us.
Yeah.
I think they got a couple of fleets of MiG-29 fulcrums in some of these hangars underground, which are capable of hitting and delivering some serious payload.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah, for sure. So they're just probably waiting.
And who knows what other, if they got MiG-29s, then they got any newer toys? They got any MiG-35s? Or whatever? They got, who knows what else they bought off the Russians or the Chinese?
Yeah, exactly. But you don't think they could have bought anything off the U.S.?
If you look at our airfields, many of our airfields for our air forces in Canada look like abandoned. Even though some of them are actually in use, they look abandoned and it's just like a bit of a joke. And then you look at North Korea's and you're like, okay, some of them are quite old, but a lot of their stuff's hidden underground. What do they actually have under there?
Yeah.
But it's on record. They got MiG-29s at least.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you can tell the airstrips are like they're not being used because you can see all these weeds growing up through the asphalt, in the airstrips. So they're not using them too much. But you,
yeah, what do you guys think of the MASH TV series based on North Korea and the war against the North Koreans and that, and the MASH unit? Like, it's commie, of course. They tell jokes and they joke around with the patients who have come over from the Korean War to be patched up and everything else, and the people in the show are joking with them, and then of course they're patching them up to send them back in to be murdered this again. But I don't know what you guys think of the MASH series. I don't really like it because they're kind of making jokes, just making jokes about the whole war and everything else, even though they're patching them up and sending them back again, which I don't like.
So they're patching them up to send them back to war again?
Of course.
Yeah, well, they still do that today.
Sure they do.
If your leg's blown off, you got one leg, if you can hop around, you get out, you get back at her out fighting again.
Yeah. So here in the United States, they just don't look after the military vets and that. Like, there's a lot of them are still waiting months or even years for any compensation for their injuries and stuff like this, and they're not getting it. So, and this program just kind of makes a joke of the whole thing about war in itself.
Yeah. So these soldiers end up on the street begging for money, and nobody takes care of them.
No.
Yeah, that's true. I agree with that.
American government's supposed to guarantee that they get the help that they need after they come back.
Well, aren't you guaranteed that when you go in?
Yeah, you are, yes.
Yeah, I should have that right in plain view when you're signing up, right? Should say that.
You're supposed to have the papers, with saying what you're supposed to be entitled to,
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and they're not getting it.
Yeah.
You're just being suckered into it.
I think that's been the whole thing with joining the military anyway. Since World War One, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Since World War One was the first war that was fought by the civilians. Before that, it was like one kingdom against another kingdom. But World War One was the first time that civilians were used in wars, and they were basically paid for by both sides, right? I mean, it's family feud. You know what I mean? Kind of like the Hatfields and McCoys and stuff like that too.
They had to carve up the map. They created a lot of new countries, I think, after World War One, and that's when they started the League of Nations. That's the United Nations.
Yeah,
that's why they needed World War One.
Yeah, so they can put this through. But why didn't they just put it through without having a war? Just have it signed, sealed, and delivered.
Well, because they're actually, it's like UN is like a military thing, even though their soldiers don't carry weapons, or they're not, even if they do, they're not supposed to use them. They're still just a huge army. That's why the blue helmets with the UN, you see them.
Yeah.
They can station them anywhere in the world, basically.
Yeah. But I don't think you really need United Nations anyway, because that's not uniting anything. That's that's taking things apart, not putting anything together.
Yeah, but they got different agendas, like the global warming one. They've got they got feminism. They've got some takeover thing in Ukraine, or whatever they're up to in Ukraine. Because I remember I was checking out the United Nations thing. We were talking about it a few weeks ago when they had the meeting in New York. I guess the annual meeting.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know who is there is the president of Zimbabwe. And he is criticizing them for, they're launching all these wars all around, but they didn't really react when Israel did their thing in Gaza again this year.
Right, yeah.
Their attacks on Palestine or whatever. And I think when a controversial person talks at the UN, probably most of the countries just leave anyway, so they don't even hear the person. But anytime you do it, a controversial speech is dangerous because of what happened. Like Muammar Gaddafi did that controversial speech about how the swine flu was created in a lab, and he said a whole bunch of stuff, but he said a few things. Mm-hmm. 2009 yeah. at the UN, and then they launch a war against him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A few years later, he's killed, and
probably because of that reason, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he said a few things in that speech. He said the swine flu one. He said President. He said, there's just a whole bunch of scams with the war on terror. And then there's another speech where you can see where Muammar Gaddafi said that President Kennedy was killed because he was trying to do some, he wanted some reports about the nuclear reactor program in Israel that he believed was creating nuclear weapons or something.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So he was taken out because of that, but, you know, who knows?
So they're calling him a tyrant.
Yeah.
A dictator. All right, come on, give me a break.
Yeah, Muammar Gaddafi also, same with the guy I was saying did the speech this year, and he apparently does one every year, Robert Mugabe,
right.
Zimbabwe guy, because what they did in Zimbabwe was they destroyed the currency, basically, with the some kind of inflation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then there's the conspiracy was that it wasn't just Robert Mugabe himself, it was actually the Fed did a scam because he started giving money to every citizen.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's terrible, isn't it? Jeez.
But this, well, not that. For Switzerland, because this week I think Switzerland announced they're now going to pay every citizen. But I think it's hard to be a citizen of Switzerland. They don't really, they're not really kind to immigration.
Right, yeah.
But for the people there, I guess, that get born into it, then I guess you get a, you might be able to survive even if you didn't have a job. Like, I guess that would be the only reason to have an income thing would be so that everyone's not required to
is
work.
Is ISIS in Switzerland, Daniel? Do you know?
I think so. Well, because there's Switzerland. A society there called Octagon. I see a lot of YouTube videos. There's a good YouTube series that exposes it. They're Swiss Nazi Templars. Octagon. And so they got a lot
money
of symbology
to the people,
all over Switzerland symbology. It's a very important country for the New World Order because it's the one where like all the banking goes.
Yeah, Swiss banking. Yeah.
What's the one? Basel. Yeah, Basel, Switzerland. Sense. That's where they have the what's it? The World Bank or Bank of International Settlement.
Mm.
Big one.
But these are not owned by the people, are they? Not like our banks over here, or like the Bank of Canada and stuff like that. Which the people own the bank. But I don't know about these global banks type of thing. I don't think the people own them. I think the globalists own those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And there is the controversy with the Bank of Canada, too, because there is the... so much of Canada is just in the name of the Queen, you know? And it's like, yeah. How much did they give up? Because they still have these royal trips.
Oh, sure they do, yeah. But they don't go everywhere, though. They go maybe like the Calgary Stampede. They'll go down east or whatever, maybe Nova Scotia or wherever. But they don't go throughout all parts of Canada. Only the ones that represent the Queen.
Everywhere they go, though, they always check out whatever the local military installation is.
Yeah, sure. Exactly, yeah.
So it just shows what they're still running.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the politicians are still sworn to the Queen, and the there's most of the land is still Crown land owned by the Crown. So
yeah.
One could argue that, this is still a British Crown corporation run by the monarch.
Yeah, that's the thing with the Crown is that those are for-profit corporations when you look at them. Crown
yeah, you're right, because all of Canada is a business, and Canada is just to generate profit.
So that is one thing, that the Bank of Canada wasn't necessarily set up as a Crown corporation. It wasn't necessarily set up as a profit-making thing. It was just supposed to be like an actual bank. Like
is how the Queen owns all the land in Canada through, A, the Crown land, which is already most of the land, and then B, the private land. And how does she own the private land? Well, what happens when you don't pay your land tax. The government comes and takes it. The government is works for the queen. They're sworn to the crown, right?
Right. So,
exactly, yeah. All you can really own in Canada is a title deed to your house. It's a piece of paper.
So technically, the queen, as far as I'm concerned, still runs this show or still owns this place.
Sure she does. Well, what land in Canada is not owned by the queen? Nunavut or somewhere like that, or what?
Yeah, and about 10% of Vancouver, they say, is owned by one man, the richest man in Canada, who's Lee Ka-shing. He's from Hong Kong.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that guy. Yeah, I heard about his name.
Lee Ka- what happens when Lee Ka-shing doesn't pay his taxes? The government takes it for the queen, right? So who owns Lee Ka-shing's land? The government, a.k.a. the queen. The government is sworn to the queen. So I don't see, you know, any difference than what it was 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or before 1867. That's when you're owned the land, when it was pre-1867.
Before Crown land.
Before Crown land, yeah. That's when you could own and own land and build whatever you want. But then when 1867 came around and then they formed a government and then they probably bought out these people that own the land and say, well, we'll buy the land from you and, you know, you can live under our roof. Instead, we'll give you this, give you that, you know.
It's almost 150 years. That's what they're planning on 2017. The conservative government has earmarked a whole bunch for the 150-year anniversary of the 1867 scam.
Yeah, when Canada became a corporation.
Because when you actually see the picture of what happened, and John A. Macdonald is, I think he's right near the center of the picture. They have all the guys that signed the Confederation of Canada or whatever. They're like railroad barons. They're like the, railroad barons. And then John A. Macdonald was the lawyer for the biggest railroad company.
Yeah, yeah. He was the first CEO of Canada or Kanadistan.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
So Harper's just the current, and then they could move on to Trudeau soon.
Yeah, I think he will become prime minister. Unfortunately.
Crime Minister of Kanadistan.
Yeah.
Who will it be?
Chow Se-tung? Oh, I don't think she'll get in, no. She's just all hype right now.
Well, she's running for mayor of Tarantanamo Bay against Ford and the boys.
Yeah, right? But still, she probably has her sights on something else.
Flying trains? I don't know.
Flying trains, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, apparently she's going to bring flying trains to Toronto.
She's got the napkins to do it.
She's got the napkins to do it, and she's got jugs upon jugs of UN Agenda 21 Kool-Aid to pass around. And we'll all be flying trains to work.
That's a unicorn urine, I think.
Yeah, the Nascent X3 Nascent unicorn urine.
A few milk crates full.
Yeah.
Stolen milk crate.
Even on the flying train, everyone's going to be sick as a dog sneezing up on everybody. So
you remember that clip we played last week with the guy that brought up Olivia Chow and he brought up the China stuff? There's a huge internet backlash on that guy where he's like a racist and everything.
Oh.
And it's Olivia Chow's getting racial attacks now in the mayor debate. And that's like the clip they have is the guy asking the question.
Right.
About Olivia Chow's priorities, I guess. Because that is a weird policy to have as mayor of Toronto as one of your main policies is just bring in a Chinese currency. You know, the guy that asked the question wasn't even asking about that. He was asking about if Olivia Chow had any credentials, like other than being an immigrant and low income, like if she had ever had a job other than being a politician.
Yeah, career politician, that's it. She doesn't have any other work experience. So because he criticized, well, it's because he the way he said it, so it made her just attack. That's just use the race card. It was just easy.
Mm-hmm.
He let the door open for her to use the race card as defense. So, you know, she went for it because she didn't have a real argument because she hadn't done anything other than be a career politician. Otherwise, she would have said, no, I used to You know, I was a seamstress, or I used to run a restaurant, or I used to whatever, you know.
Yeah.
A janitor. It doesn't matter, right? If she did something else, she would have reverted to that as a defense, right? Instead of just, you're a racist. So, I don't know.
It is turning into a race war, though, in the debates because of the there's a Jewish part where that Ari Goldkind and Doug Ford are in a thing where they're he's saying that the Fords are anti-Semitic. And then they just had a debate last night. It's supposed to be a priority debate about the poor neighborhoods in Toronto. And they wouldn't let this black woman on stage. They actually called the cops on her, and she's a candidate for mayor.
That's crazy.
She's trying to get in the debate on like priority neighborhoods and diversity, and they throw her because they wanted to leave a seat open because Doug Ford wouldn't attend the debate because that Ari Goldkind was there. So they just left his seat open on stage. So she walked up and sat in his seat. Like they just wanted to leave an empty seat to make it seem like Doug Ford is still allowed to attend if he wants to.
He could walk through the door and just sit down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they would have cheered and said, oh, he's a man of his, you know, he's not an anti-Semitic guy, but now it's like they can keep that part open.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is sketchy because of their last name, Ford, being associated with, you know, they say Henry Ford, the Ford Motor Company, was a huge supporter of Hitler.
Yeah.
Actually won the Nazis' highest award for civilians or something. Mm-hmm. Right before the war started.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
World War II.
A lot of interconnecting there, I can tell you.
Yeah, but who was Ford building those Sherman tanks?
Well, they were part of it. Yeah, they were part of the war effort.
So they got the award from the Nazis, but then they built a bunch of tanks to go and attack them with.
That's where the money.
Through a bunch of dancers, quickly follow the unknown.
At Truth Frequency Radio, we bring you the very best personalities in the independent media, without the corporate influence, and with limited commercial interruption. Over the past year, Truth Frequency Radio has become one of the fastest-growing media outlets in the world, and we owe it all to you. That's why, with every donation of $30 or more, we'll send you your very own Survive Drive as a way of saying thanks for your continued support. The Survive Drive is jam-packed with nearly 600 ebooks to help you survive everything from everyday life to major disasters. Donate today and we'll continue to wage war against the powers that shouldn't be. Again, thanks for your support and for making Truth Frequency Radio your choice for news without the hate, hype, and fear.
Hey, Big Mouth. Yeah, you. Listen, I want you to put the word out on the street. Tell your co-workers, your family, your paisanos, that my good friend Joe Joseph is doing a good thing here. He's sticking his neck out for me, for Sill, and for all the people in the world. Isn't that right, Sill?
He's part of the family now, Deej.
That's what I thought. So tune in to him right here on Freedom Link, Monday to Friday, exclusively on the Truth Frequency Radio. Yeah, they're watching you. Big deal. They're watching me, too. They're watching everybody. So grow some cojones and give them something to watch and listen to. Make them earn it. Give them paperwork until they choke. That's right. I know you won't let me down. So you're going to put the word out about my good friend, Joe Joseph, right? Good. Now do me a favor and get out of here.
Sure, I'm glad I tried that new Iodine Now microplant powder formulation.
You liked it, huh? I told you it would change your life.
Yeah, I feel fantastic, and I have so much more energy.
Hi, I have your Iodine Now delivery.
Oh, yes, my second order arrived. Thank you so much.
Hey, buddy, why don't you ask this lady out for a date?
Good idea. Now that I'm taking Iodine Now, I have the energy to enjoy my life again.
It looks like you're getting back your old charm, buddy.
I'd love to go out to dinner with you. And can I try some of the iodine now?
Of course you can. You just delivered me a 1-year supply. Your future looks really great. I finally agree with you.
Iodine Now, part of the MicroPlant Powder family. MicroPlant Powder is available in 15 different formulations. Call 888-910-4367 or visit the website to find the one that's right for you. And listen to our new audio descriptions for every product only at MUSA.org.
You must unite what has been set aside.
We are TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Welcome back to Angry Beaver Radio here on truthfrequencyradio.com, and we are in the second hour, the second half, and I've got here from the Hamilton Spectator, double whammy could spike energy costs. Hang on to your wallet and put on an extra sweater. Energy industry players say they've learned from last year's so-called polar vortex and are bracing for what the Farmer's Almanac says will be another bitterly cold season, one that's already being dubbed the T-Rex of winters. The article goes on further there. But yeah, apparently the forecast is that this winter is going to be another cold one. Only time will tell, though. But last winter, we saw the Great Lakes freeze over and the Niagara Falls mostly freeze over. That is not indicative of global warming, I would think. So maybe they're global. That's why they had to change the terms from global warming back to climate change. And now any weather event is blamed on the climate change, and you got to pay Goldman Sachs carbon tax for the Chicago Carbon Exchange and the climate mafia down at the depot.
It'll well, change, John.
But sure.
John, what about the volcano in Japan? Well, what about that? That's caused by global warming, isn't it?
You should get Al Gore up there on top of that volcano, and he can spew so much hot air out of his mouth or his ass, and it'll, like, I don't know what'll happen. It's put out the volcano, maybe.
I heard that they're having typhoons out there right now.
Throw Al Gore, just push Al Gore into the volcano. I think that'll stop global warming.
Yeah, plug it up.
He's not a climate denier, is he?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, apparently John, or who is it, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., is saying that people who deny climate change should be put in jail.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That hurts.
Oh, no. This guy was at the climate march as well a few weeks ago.
Yeah, this is out of the National Review. Robert Kennedy Jr., aspiring tyrant, says he'd like to charge the Koches, or the Koch brothers, with treason and send climate change dissenters to jail. So I guess he wants to send us to jail. And they show a picture of him with a homemade like the no smoking sign. It's got like a circle, red circle with a line through it, and it says no Keystone XL pipeline. Which means, like, that's, he works for the other oil company. He's against the Koch brothers and their oil interests, but he's for the Rockefeller oil interests. That's all this is, right? You know, the whole Rockefellers, they're the ones behind the climate change, global warming nonsense with the UN. So, yeah, it's just an energy battle. That's all I see.
Yeah, that's an interesting crossover too, because the grandfather of the Kennedy, like the patriarch of the Kennedys, Joseph Kennedy, like JFK's father, or RFK's father's, father. these character in this series, the Boardwalk Empire series, about all the gangsters, you know, in the Prohibition era, and that's what they even just had on a on an episode, I think, a few weeks ago. They even mentioned that he's working with the Rockefellers, and they show him sitting around this board table. So this could be a long history of this going on since the gangster days, and it's like oil cartels, I guess.
Yeah, so he's pushing all this propaganda against his competition. Meanwhile, he's working for the competing oil company, right? And propaganda is that those who contend that global warming does not exist are guilty of a criminal offense, and they ought to be serving time for it. Oh, my God. And there's been accusations of treason. You know, people are guilty of treason who deny climate change and don't want to pay Al Gore and Ken Lay, the former executive of the Enron scandal, their carbon tax money, their overlords, Goldman Sachs. It's just ridiculous. The Chicago Carbon Exchange, massive Ponzi scheme. It's all it is.
So, yeah, and do they have the room in the jails for all these carbon criminals? Or is it? I guess the jails could get empty if they do legalization of all the drugs, and then you're going to have somebody to put in the jail so they can just put carbon crimes and people in debt they can always throw in jail too as a debtor prison.
They probably want to do Christopher Monckton like ISIS or something. These people are crazy.
Ice Bucket Challenge.
ISIS Bucket Challenge. The ISIS Bucket Challenge. That's where that one guy went across the Mexican-U.S. border with a bucket of tiny heads of, I don't know what they were, doll heads, and then poured them over his head.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that one.
No, and he's just showing the insecurities, dressed up like ISIS, all black ISIS flag, and he had a bucket full of heads, right? Like little tiny heads, and when as soon as he got across, he dumped the bucket of heads over his head, and it was the ISIS Bucket Challenge.
Wow.
We should have the Ebola Bucket Challenge.
Yeah, that would be great. That would go like crazy. People would follow that.
Yeah, but
I was looking at go ahead.
The one guy also went across one of the lakes here. He went across the lake in a inflatable raft, dressed up like ISIS, and got into the U.S. And he had simulated Ebola and ricin. Not real, but, you know. And he got in.
No, allowed in, for sure.
See, if you dress like a Canadian, and you talk like this, eh? They're going to stop you at the border. If you dress like ISIS, you got a head full of buckets, or a bucket full of heads, then you're good to go. I don't know.
Yeah, there also seems to be a push towards a cashless society because it's like cops and border guards have been confiscating people's cash. Do you see this trend that's going on?
Yeah, they're thieves. I'm not saying they all are, but the ones that are just running around confiscating cash out of people's wallet, well, they're just thieves. There's no way about it, you know. Well, I suspect it could be for a crime, so I'm going to steal your money. Well, that, sir, is a crime. Are you suspecting because I have cash that I'm somehow engaged in crime? Well, that's not a crime, and you have not proven a crime. No, but you've now committed a crime by stealing money that somebody probably had to work their ass off for.
Yeah, but John, you still have your debit and your credit card.
Everybody's getting their debit and credit cards hacked and stolen. You not noticing it?
Debit card.
Yeah, their debit card and their credit cards are being hacked and stolen.
Yeah, so I guess you're screwed either way.
Constantly. Talk to people you know. Has your bank card ever been, has money been mysteriously missing out of your bank account and the bank had to replace it? Yeah, you'll hear that all the time. And they don't know why, and the bank never comes up with a friggin' reason why.
Well, yeah, that's why it does help them if they can erase the paper trail, if there's no more paper records.
It's electronic pickpocketing, electronic.
Yeah, it's harder to find, yeah.
Card skimming.
Yeah, just like John, just like a couple of weeks ago, I went to the TD Bank and put in my card, and they wouldn't give me my card back. And then, you know, up on the screen, it said temporary out of service.
So aren't you glad you kept your money there so it's nice and safe so you can't get
So I was there, so I might as well go talk to one of the ladies that was works there. And I looked at her and says, "Can I help you?" I said, "Yes." The machine won't give me my card back. She says, "Okay." So she goes in the back and she retrieves my card. But then she asked me who I was. "I want your name." So it, see if it's the same name on the card as it's supposed to be. So, yeah, that happened. Usually, only time that will happen if you don't have any money left in the bank account. So, naturally, the machine's going to confiscate your card if you got zero balance. But I have money in there, but it took my card anyway. But I got it back anyways, right? Because that's the only plastic I've got. That's it. I don't use credit card whatsoever.
Well, it's the risk we're running. You know, if you decide to use plastic, well, then you have the ever-growing possibility of electronic pickpockets and card skimmers electronically stealing your money without much of a trace of what happened. The bank never tells you. Right now, currently, the bank is just replacing the money, no questions asked. How long is that going to go on for? You know. That's the big question. And this trend is going to keep growing. But then you have the other option. Well, I'm just going to stick to cold hard cash, right? But if you have too much on you and the police stop you, there is a slight chance that they may decide, well, I think this is for a crime or, you know, due to proceeds of crime, and they'll just steal your money. So it's like you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
But how much money is deemed a problem? If you have $10 on you, what can you do with $10?
Not much. That's the thing. So, you know.
So if you have $500 on you, you know, like a lot of seniors
do much,
carry a lot of money.
You can't do much with $500.
Yeah, exactly.
Say you want to go, say you live in Mississauga there, you want to go to Montreal for the weekend. You know, you need train fare there and back, hotel money. You need food. You know, drinks, anything else you might want to do, plus any entertainment you're going to take in while you're there. $500, that's not even going to pay for that. You're probably going to need $1,000, maybe $1,500, depending on what you want to do there, right? So, I mean, somebody walking around with $1,500 cash is not outrageous. $50 is the new $20.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, $20 doesn't buy you anything anymore. 50 is the new 20. It's called inflation. So this idea that you can't walk around with big amounts of cash is ridiculous in an age of inflation, where 50 is the new 20. It's like, well, geez, like $100, that buys me smokes for the week. You know, like...
Yeah, for me, $20 used to last me the whole week. With a little entertainment on the side, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's what they've proven too, is that the wages have definitely not increased the way that prices and the cost of living's increased or whatever.
Right.
So yeah. they're all at different rates. That's where you can't really trust when they're talking about the inflation rate.
No, it's like 1 or 2%, and that's just like complete outright lie. Why don't you just come out and say the sky is purple? Every day, just a weather report, sky is purple. It's like this, it's the same thing as them saying inflation's at 2%. It's a joke. It's a lie. Outright.
Yeah, because what they don't count food and they don't count, what was it, gasoline or something? There's two major ones they don't count. Yeah. they're always going up.
Yeah. Which that tells you right there that their numbers are screwed.
Yeah.
Don't count food or fuel.
At least that's the Fed, or, you know, there's probably all kinds of these think tanks. That's what they do. Sit around thinking about this stuff, and then it just seems everything gets more complicated.
Well, that's the other thing with this Ebola scare, is if it keeps proceeding further and you end up getting the, you know, more reported cases here, and they end up doing the quarantine and the lockdown that we're seeing in Africa, that you're going to see more and more of a push for people to say, yeah, get rid of all cash. That's how we're That's how everyone's getting sick. It's passing around this money. And I could see them, you know, possibly using this and politicizing this in order to push more of the cashless society and getting away from all cash completely. I mean, that's how I could see them getting rid of the cash, is blaming some type of sickness or disease on the spread of the disease, on the cash itself. And then people say, yeah, no, I just want to do digital. Let's just do all digital, no more cash.
Yeah, because the money, millions of people handle the money all the time. What happens if some guy or woman you're talking to has got Ebola and sneezed in her hands and touched the money, and you took the money from you to put in your wallet? You know, you can get sick. So having a cashless society is a good idea.
That's how they will try to sell it. Now, I'm not saying they will do this with Ebola, but I could see that this is probably one of the ways they will try to do this in the future in terms of going completely cashless, is they need to make cash the bad guy, right? They got to demonize it, got to make it the bad guy to the public. And what better way than to have some type of outbreak or some kind of sickness and then blame it on, well, yeah, it's the cash, it's the, you know, people not washing their hands, and they touch the money, and then it gets passed around. And then that's very easy for people to say, yeah, I get it, yeah, no way, I don't want Ebola, or I don't want flesh-eating disease, or whatever the excuse will be. But who knows? It's hard to say, because there's always that section of society that thrives on cash, and you wonder how much of the elitists are actually invested in the underbelly of society that uses cash. And I'm not sure how drug dealers and prostitutes and all these other black, you know, economies will operate if there's no cash.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's a way. They'll be able to put cash digitally on cards that is anonymous. They'll just make up some way like that so that they can still engage in the drug dealing, the prostitution, the child trafficking, and all that other nonsense.
Who's that, John? Who says that the prostitutes can't have a debit card machine that has options of, you know, like your other cards? You can just do it like that. They run off a battery. So you can have that, can't you?
Yeah, you can get a payment card. You can get a payment thing that plugs right into your phone, your Android, your smartphone, and you can take payments for people. The only thing is if you're in an area where it's not, where prostitution isn't legal, then you're going to have a hard time later down the road trying to explain to the government what it's for. So you're going to have to set up a front in order to do that, meaning a different business name, you know, Sally's Salon. And all the payments are for haircuts, you know, whatever.
They got something in the back room.
Yeah, you'll see that. That's what you'll see. It's probably already going on. So, yes, the underground economy will go digital, but it's really dicey. I mean, it's like, it's just stupidity. If they don't want to get caught, they wouldn't be going digital. But it's the same. I mean, even the more darker, seedier parts, like the child trafficking, kidnapping and trafficking, they all use cash. You know, all these royal families and elitists, they're all into these pedophile rings. They all use cash in order to pay for it. They don't pay with digital currencies. So, I mean, they all have to figure out how to maintain their underground economies on digital currency before this switch goes.
Well, they design an IOU type of thing on a piece of paper or a napkin and give it to the other people. That's what they do. Because if they're going to do it digitally, they're going to be tracked and they're going to get caught. So why do that? Might as well just use it with plain cash.
Well, that's my point. That's why I'm saying I'm not so sure we ever will go 100% digital, because these elitists are so intertwined with the underbelly, seedy industries that use cash, and I find it hard to see them not using cash.
Yeah.
Especially with things like the child trafficking and the kidnapping and the pedophile rings, you know. The elites are not going to shut those down or stop those. That's their gig. That's their thing.
Or maybe what they might want to do is put a microchip in the paper currency. So it doesn't matter if you're using a debit or a credit card or not. You could just use cash, but they still can track it, all your information.
Well, that'll suck. I mean, the minute they do that, thieves will be tracking cash with apps on their phones, and they will be breaking into anywhere where they see the large amounts of cash.
Yeah, that would be kind of a crazy thing to do. Tracking everything, you know, everything's going to have a microchip in it.
Well, I mean, there's other microchip technologies. They're so small. Like there's ones that are almost like a, it's like flat, right? It's so like paper thin. And if they could embed like something like that that's trackable, yeah. And I say that's again, it's a security risk for everybody who would use it, because that means that thieves could then track where the money is and then see that, oh, so-and-so has $4,000 in a safe over here in their house. Okay, let's wait for them to go to work and break in. And they're tracking it all on their smartphone. So, I mean, trackable cash is just, you're just asking to be stolen from. I don't know. The monetary system is going to hell in a handbasket. It doesn't look good either way. Maybe we'll all just switch to bitcoins.
Yeah, shitcoin.
Shitcoin, yeah. I'm not a big fan of Bitcoin.
But what if there was a power outage? What would happen then? Why would they want it to go digitally anyway? If that were to happen, with our paper trail, at least we could survive somehow.
Well, you could survive for a bit until people realize that the cash itself was also worthless. But yeah, for a bit. If there was a power outage or something like that, or some kind of emergency disaster. For the first bit, cash would be king, and stores and people who are trying to sell goods and services would still accept it, no problem. But those goods and services would soon dry up, and those people that sold them would realize that they probably didn't want that cash. They should have hung on to their goods. Unless you're talking about like a few day power outage, you have a big deal. But if it's something that's prolonged, you're going to wish you hung on to your food and didn't have piles of cash in your wallet because you can't eat the money. Well, you can, but I don't know how good it's going to be.
But in a cashless situation, it would be you'd be totally reliant on the government.
Yeah, and it's because it's completely cashless. The power goes out, and then you're broke.
Government rations, they'd start having emergency rations or whatever.
Yeah, everybody'd be lined up. Yeah, everybody'd be lined up waiting to be served food and stuff like that, like they did back in the 30s, you know. That's a scary thought. When you think about it, when another financial crash comes and everybody's lined up like a mile long in a lineup waiting to be...
They are, though, Michael. That's the thing. It's hidden in plain sight. It's called electronic food bank cards. These electronic food bank cards, or the EBT cards, whatever they called, run by J.P. Morgan Chase, got the contract through the government to supply these cards. And... what, there's over 50 million people on these food stamps in the States? They're electronic bread lines, okay? It's not the normal bread line like the 30s. The people, if these cards were to be shut down tomorrow, they'd be lined up just like the 30s. So it is happening. It's just hidden in plain sight because it's mixed in with the regular shoppers. You got the regular shoppers going to buy groceries, and then you got the person behind in line that has the electronic food bank card at the same store. So the bread lines of the dirty 30s are back in full force, probably worse than they were before.
Yeah, a lot of push I've seen, John and guys. There's a lot of push now for the food banks. Now that the holiday season is starting to creep up, and they want everybody to have good food. But all I see in these things are in these bins that are. I've seen one at No Frills that had like 4, 5, or 6 packages of cookies. Not
that'll
real food.
Sustain anybody.
No.
Well, I mean, it's they just kind of rely on whatever people donate. So, you know what I mean? Like, they don't pick the food. They often don't pick the food. Sometimes people donate cash, and yes, these food banks will go out and do shopping. But a lot of times, like these food bins. And they're near the checkouts or whatever, like after you get to the checkouts. So people will go in, they'll buy something, they'll see this bin, and they'll just take something out of that they just bought. And they're like, I don't need this. And they'll throw it in the food bank bin. So in that case, I mean, a lot of people aren't consciously even shopping for the food bank. They're just spur of the moment threw something in out of their bag. And it's probably somebody who bought 4 things of cookies and looked at the food bank bin. And then looked at their giant stomach and thought, maybe I don't need these. I don't know, right? But It's just that, you know, the food banks are pretty good. It's just a shame when you get the odd food bank that's that somebody inside is on the take and selling this food or doing something else with the food, not giving it out to where it needs to go.
And I've been in a food bank before for the first time, and it's amazing how much paperwork and, you know, you have to go through an interview and everything else just to get any type of food, any amount. They say, oh, they always want your, income tax forms and everything else just to see if you qualify to get the stuff. It's so much just to get it. It's amazing. And I needed it at one point in time, so... But I thought, no, it takes too much time and effort just to get a lonely crumb, you know. So.
Yeah, they basically want a lot of the food banks want your income report. They want to see how much you have to pay in your bills. In terms, they want to see your rent receipts or your your hydro bills. So yeah, I don't know, because I mean, I guess yeah, they'll get people who will just. Who don't need it. Somebody who's, you know, a couple who has like no kids, but they both work in two jobs and they, you know, they got money, access money, and they're going to the food bank to get free food. So, I mean, so that unfortunately it's those people who wrecked it. In the past, I don't think they did that. But in the past,
yeah, I heard.
In the past, it wasn't normal for people to go to the food bank throughout the 70s and 80s. I mean, it was pretty rare for people to even be going, so, you know, I don't know.
Now, do we really need food banks?
We shouldn't.
With all the natural resources we have in this country, we shouldn't. Everybody should be living comfortably.
Yeah, everyone should. I think that, you know, every Canadian should have their own piece of land. It's ridiculous that, you know, we've all become slaves on this land, on this plantation. Everyone should have their own piece of land. They'd be able to build their own house or their own shop or whatever they want to do, grow their own food on it. But no, instead the government owns the land, and if you miss some tax payments, men with guns are going to come and confiscate it from you, give it back to the government. The rule
of law, commercial time, gentlemen.
The law of the jungle governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful...
So, you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear? Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRN. Worldwide.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Since our founding in 2005, we at YouTube have continually strived to bring you the best possible video experience on the internet. But now, we're updating YouTube to make it even better and give our users more of what they want. Ever since our Google Plus integration, we've seen a 30% reduction in racist and bigoted comments. People are even starting to notice the complete lack of bigoted comments, and frankly, they miss them. To make up for this deficit, we have added auto-commenting bots to YouTube Plus that can be set to either type racist or hateful comments. Similar to the auto-comment bot, we've created the auto-spam bot, which allows terrible YouTubers to beg people to watch their horrible excuses for videos they put out. These comments can go out to every video they've ever interacted with.
Hey guys! So we're like really wanting to be filmmakers on YouTube, and we'd totes appreciate it if you come watch our videos and comment, like, and subscribe. That'd be totes amazeballs. Yeah, we really like subscribers.
YouTube Plus. We own you!
We hold these truths to be self-evident, and that all men are created equal.
The Freedom Link.
With Joe Joseph, Monday through Friday, on True Frequency Radio.
We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see. World order, world order, world order.
Detroit City, I said, welcome to Detroit City. Every place, everywhere we go, where we deep, everywhere we roll.
Welcome back to Detroit Broke City here on Angry Beaver Radio. Agenda 21 town. Business is booming, I see. Everything's shiny and glistening there in Detroit. Anyway, I'm joking. Detroit looks like a war zone. Looks like Iraq or Syria, actually. But what do we got here? I've got this. Nuclear plants must give iodine pills to nearby residents, regulator says. Radiation protection pills will be pre-distributed to people and businesses located near nuclear plants, according to new regulation announced by the Canadian Nuclear Safety Commission on Friday. So apparently this is what's going on, is they're going to pre-distribute radiation pills to residents within a, I believe it's a 10-kilometer radius, anywhere around a nuclear power plant. And these nuclear power plants are being mandated to provide the pills so that it doesn't have to cost residents out of pocket. But, of course, it will cost them out of pocket because they'll just tack it on to the hydro price. So either way, you're going to pay for it either way. But, yeah, there you go. So nuclear power plants are so safe that you have to have pre-distributed pills in case of a nuclear disaster so that you don't die. Anyways. Yeah, so it also reminds me of the ongoing Fukushima meltdown disaster that is still leaking radiation. You can't even, you know, get near this thing. And man, bear, pig, and all the global warmists and the UN are always harping on the CO2, and we got to tax everyone to death and give it all to Goldman Sachs. And, you know, you almost never hear a peep out of this ongoing nuclear meltdown and radiation leakage. The radiation leakage is going out into the Pacific Ocean, for God's sakes. And how long has it been? What is it, 3 years? We're going on 4 years now. This thing's been leaking out of the ocean. I think we're coming up on 4 years next year. Next, what is it, April or something?
Well, even after they put duct tape on it?
Yeah, they duct taped it. I think it's supposed to go 30 or 40 years at least or something, right? Isn't it so hot they can't even shut the hole up or the pipe up? Some kind of things ruptured through, because some of the rods, it was actually the rods, spent rods or something that had been housed above the tank, the cooling tanks or something, fell over during the earthquake.
Yeah, it's a nightmare and scenario, and the I would argue it is the biggest natural disaster, or not natural disaster, biggest disaster and environmental disaster of our time.
But there is also the widespread radiation from the cell phones and the wire. Everything's going wireless now. What about that kind of radioactivity? Because there is things where they say it could be carcinogenic. On the there was a whole booth set up at the Total Health Expo warning about wireless radiation dangers.
Well, it still can be probably dangerous. It's just that, you know, even in the hospitals today, that St. Joseph's Hospital, where my father is, my uncle's staying, you can have your cell phone in the room, and it doesn't do anything. I thought before you're not allowed to use any cell phones that emit radiation. You should turn them off or just leave them out in the car or whatever. That way, patients aren't so susceptible to the radiation being given off. So I don't know, is radiation really that bad?
Yeah, or is it just a new, it's just a new type of threat? Just to have it, you could have it everywhere, and then if you had a false, thing, that it was safe.
Yeah.
And it could spread everywhere, that's the thing.
Yeah. But
because they haven't done the long-term testing, but just because it hasn't been around for that long, like all this cell phone stuff, like we're pretty much the cell phone generation is now.
It is, yeah, exactly. But it says in the manual that the cell phone radiation is basically, it's safe. It's not a high amount. It's only a low amount. Mm-hmm. So they say that there's no evidence that the radiation is harmful.
Well, that's what I'm worried about, because there was a thing in the BlackBerry that I got where it said that it's not harmful as long as it's 5 centimeters away from your body. Like, who actually holds their phone 5 centimeters away from their body at all times?
Yeah. But does it matter if you have a headset on anyway?
Not if it's in your pocket, then it's like it is five centimeters, like it's not 5 centimeters away if it's in your pocket. Or that's the thing, is that should I carry my phone like on a belt pack, like a utility belt pack, like a Batman thing, or should
No, it's still too close, man.
Yeah.
No, you need like a briefcase on a rope that on wheels, right? And you tow it behind you a good distance away from yourself.
Just yell, that's the best idea, you know, top of your lungs, man.
See, if you read the cell phone's warning in the booklet, you know, whatever cell phone you just recently bought, then that's what the conclusion you'll come to, is that you got to keep your cell phone in a lead suitcase on rollers and just tow it around 20 feet behind you with a ski rope.
That's why it's dangerous to read the actual the truth, and read the actual facts that are in the product that you just bought. So it's easier to just remain ignorant, and you can just hope what you don't know doesn't hurt you, and then.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, most people that I see, they're on the. Go ahead.
They claim it's safe, but they give you all these warnings because they're unsure, and then so you know if. If it comes out years down the road that your phone killed you, you can't sue them. Because, hey, we warned you. See this phone you got to put up beside your head? Don't put it near you.
Use it at your own risk.
Don't touch it.
But then how is anybody going to use the phone if you if they say you should keep it away from your phone a certain amount of space?
As soon as you touch the phone, you're too close. You know what I mean? Like, it's ridiculous. You read the back of the phone warning book. I don't know how dangerous it is. I just know that reading the back of their warnings, I can't touch. I'm not supposed to touch the thing. And it's a touch phone.
Yeah.
With a keyboard that slides out. So it's like, all right. Oh, yeah, this works great. Whoa, I'm not supposed to touch it. Okay, put it on a 20-foot corded headset. Okay, how do you dial? How do you do anything on the phone? Okay, I got the ear set on. I still got to get there to touch the phone. Not supposed to get that close. It's ridiculous.
And now they've launched the Apple Watch, so you can wear your mobile device. It's becoming a fashion accessory.
Right, so is wrist cancer.
You know what? I was just looking at the safety information. It says do not bite or suck the device. That's what it says here. Doing so may damage the device or result in an explosion or fire.
Yeah, so you gotta keep
true.
It away.
Beggars can't
eat kids.
Really? It's crazy.
Children. Plus the stuff that's in the
choosers.
Yeah, exactly. can't choose what's in your phone, but they say that every phone has got these rare type of rare earth minerals and like this weird chemical stuff that they find, what's it called, niobium or something, one they find that's very rare.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's got a bit of something or...
It's got conductive materials inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those kind of materials, exactly. There's some highly toxic stuff in every cell phone. And think of how many disposable phones there are on top of how many people, like how many phones I've got. In the past 10 years, I must have got at least 6 phones.
And another thing that they got here, it says, do not insert the device or supplied accessories into the eyes, ears, or mouth.
Yeah.
Like, don't stick the headset in your ear or something like that, or the end of the headset in your ear, or maybe... Or anything inside your ear. Don't put it. But what's the difference, anyways? If you put your phone up to your ear to talk to somebody, what difference does it make? Doing so may cause suffocation or serious injuries.
Yeah, that's why I guess you just got to go for speakerphone. It's just hard to do when you're walking around outside. It's like you either need a hands free or you got to put your phone up to your ear.
Yeah, so
just to be able to hear.
Oh, for sure, yeah. But most people are listening to their music anyway, so. But you see everybody using it. Because you're supposed to use the right charger for it. You can't use anything other than, let's say, a Samsung or an iPhone accessories. You can't use anything else other than what it's supposed to be. Right, so, yeah. Just all the safety information and stuff like that too, right? And charging the battery and a whole bunch of different things in here. Tell you what to do, what not to do. How to recycle it properly and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I wonder about, how they can actually recycle this stuff, or does it actually just go to like some dump in the... just like a whole pile of millions of phones somewhere.
Yeah, because that's from the industry Canada. They're the ones that say all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's all federal standard.
Right. So there is some people trying to, hopefully they're looking out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So if you're not going to use your phone, like turn it off or take the battery out. But wouldn't it admit radiation even if your battery is out of your phone?
Yeah.
So it's still emitting some kind of radiation.
Yeah, that's where these invisible force fields you're seeing all around.
Yeah, it doesn't matter where. Like, even in here, like there's a lot of radiation. Even in a building or whatever, if you go outside, it's all over the place. You can't see it. You can't smell it, taste it, or anything, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
So the safest phone to use is a payphone, because it's grounded, so it doesn't admit any radiation whatsoever.
Yeah, but it has Ebola on the receiver.
Yeah, well, that's why I don't use it.
Plus now, don't they charge $1 now or $2? It's like, I remember it used to be 25 cents.
50 cents.
Yeah, now you can't even find a payphone. That's like finding a dinosaur.
Yeah, I did see one in the St. George Station, I noticed, still has one. But who knows for how long.
Yeah.
One subway station.
Yeah, we have one here at our bus terminal, sorry. And they have a payphone there. It's kind of like a round one. So you get three or four, and it's in a round type of compartment. So it's 50 cents right now.
I did notice when I was over in the UK in the summer that their phone booths, they've converted to Wi-Fi booths, and it says Wi-Fi here, so you can walk into the booth and use your.
I guess you can access maybe a Wi-Fi screen, or I didn't actually go inside of it because I figured it cost money, but.
Oh, but they don't have a phone in the phone booth. It's just you going into a phone booth with your phone that has Wi-Fi.
Yeah, that's probably what it is, actually. You got to use your own device to bring your own device, probably.
Interesting. Never thought of that, but that makes sense.
They also have on the double-decker buses, at least in Edinburgh, they've got Wi-Fi on them. So you're like in a moving Wi-Fi transmitter when you think about it, because like the bus is actually moving, right? It's
yeah. Like if you go to Niagara Falls via one of the coaches, they got Wi-Fi on board.
Oh, they got, yeah, private still has it, I guess.
It doesn't have to be private. It could be Safeway Tours. You've seen those down in Toronto.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they've got, yeah, I mean, Wi-Fi. But they're not like a city run like a Toronto Transit or like how GO is run by Metrolinx, which is a Crown corporation.
Yeah, no. Safeway Tours is owned by Coach Canada. They're Coach Canada buses.
Huh?
Because I looked at one of the buses, right, and it had they painted over it, and then they put Coach Canada on it. But in there, like in behind it, you could see the raised letters, Chinese letters, and it used to be that coach. Now it's Coach Canada.
They just repainted it.
They just repainted it, yeah. Safeway Tour Bus, they've just repainted it. Because it is Coach Canada, run by them. Because I've taken Coach Canada to New York City. Boston, and yeah. They go everywhere like that.
That's got to be a far trip, though, for the driver.
But they change drivers.
Oh, they change the driver.
Yeah, you have to change drivers for those long trips. Right?
Yeah, because how long is it to get from Canada to New York City?
Oh, well, it's several hours because you naturally you got to stop along the way, and so you can do some shopping and have a bite to eat, whatever. So right. you have a timeline.
Right. That's all. The rest of New York State is just shopping malls and places to eat.
Yeah, that's
and
what
they
we
got
did.
New York
we,
City, yeah.
Yeah. The first thing we did when we got into New York is go for a bite to eat at a Chinese restaurant. So you had to park the bus right on the street, pretty much. So it's quite the thing, quite the trip for sure. But you have a timeline where you can only, we're going to be here for an hour and a half. Or if you want to go sightseeing or walking, you got to make sure you're back at a certain time, you know. Everything's all those regulations,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Or otherwise they'd leave you probably.
I don't think they can leave you because why would they want to leave you at New York and then go across through the tunnel to New Jersey? It doesn't make sense. But we went there just a year before 9/11, a year after 9/11, almost a year, where there's heightened security everywhere. To go to a museum, they had some guy checking your bags to go get into the museum.
Mm-hmm.
Just especially the SS Intrepid that's in the New York Harbor.
Like a big warship.
Yeah, I was on that. We were on that, yeah. And that's exactly where the ship that George W. Bush a few years ago was interviewed by CNN.
Right. Is that the same one he declared that they had won the Iraq War?
I believe so, yeah, because it was a museum. It's a museum. Big,
oh,
huge
now
museum.
A museum. Okay.
Oh, yeah, it was a huge museum.
I think the one where he declared he won the Iraq War was like in 2005 or something, and it was...
It was probably a different one.
It was an active one, yeah, because it was full of soldiers. But
yeah,
they definitely kept that war going for a long time, and now they've restarted it. So.
Yeah, exactly. That was on 2002, and it was already a museum, and already had a 9/11 museum inside the museum.
Do you remember there being a warship in Toronto Harbor near the Ontario Place?
Yeah. What's the name of it?
Haida.
Haida, yeah.
HMCS Haida. I just remembered it because actually it's on the Prime Minister of Canada's got now a YouTube show.
And he actually went there. It's now parked. They've now parked it in Hamilton.
In Hamilton, yes.
And he actually went there to take a tour, and he's saying how he used to go there when he was a kid, because Harper's actually from Etobicoke.
Right, yes. Yeah, I've been on that, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I do remember going on that one, too. I don't know why they moved it, but probably just trying to build more stuff in Hamilton.
Yeah, plus they want to expand Ontario Place as well, because they're doing now they're doing some expanding.
Yeah, that's their scam. No, they actually they've shut down Ontario Place. They're going to destroy it, and they're going to put it as a park and probably condos and whatever Liberty Entertainment wants or whatever.
Yeah, I liked it the way it was before.
Yeah, when it used to have it's sort of like an it's like an amusement park kind of thing.
Yeah, and you can go.
I even used to work there when I was in high school in the summer job.
Oh yeah.
Down near there, and I noticed the place where the water slide is still there, but I figure they're going to tear it down soon, because they've already started tearing down some stuff. It's just the Cinesphere they're going to keep, because apparently it was the first IMAX, one of the first IMAX ever or something.
Right, yeah.
It's a historical place, Ontario Cinesphere.
Oh, yeah. Been there with the big screen?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, enjoyed that. No, I liked it the way it was before. There is... want to destroy everything, and now Charles A. Tung is talking about the island airport, about you know, widening or lengthening the airstrips in the area to bring in more airplanes or bigger airplanes and stuff like that too.
Yeah, it does connect with Toronto, because you know that was John Tory's one of his things. McGuinty actually put him in charge of this Ontario Place redevelopment thing a few years ago. I don't think he runs it anymore because he's doing all the campaign. He's like pretty much he's in a debate every night. Olivia Chow, John Tory, and then sometimes Doug Ford if he wants to or not.
And who's that other gentleman that is also running?
Yeah, Ari Goldkind. He's a I think he's a stage candidate because he's pretty much a fringe candidate.
Right.
And he's got a fringe policy, like to pay everyone in Toronto pays 50 cents a day. Then you can get the city going, but really, that's a fringe policy. Like no candidate actually says if everyone pays 50 cents a day, then we'll get things going. Like,
but he sounds
how much
like
do they pay now? You know,
well, right now it's still a percentage basis thing. It's not like everyone pays the same amount. That's why it's crazy. Like some people don't have anything. How could they pay 50 cents a day? And then some people that have so much money, it's like 50 cents is like they wouldn't even think about taking the change. If it was 50 cents, some people, they don't even like holding change, you know?
Yeah, what if you're a street person, you know? Will you give them your change that other people have given you?
Yeah, that's what I noticed. There's more and more of them now. And now even subway station I'm near, I see a lot of them in front of Jane Station. There never used to be. Now there is people looking for change.
I wonder if this Goldstein guy was a panhandler in the past, because he sounds like the same.
No, you know why he's known and why they're putting him in? It's just because he's got a famous name because he's a lawyer in these infomercials. He does infomercials. Like, have you been in an accident or what? You know, whatever. Ari Goldkind.
Yeah, he's a good talker. You could tell.
So he's an ambulance chaser.
Yeah, and I think divorce and who knows? Probably every. Everything you can get, nickel and dime.
Nickel and dime. He's squeezed money out of broken homes and chasing ambulances around. Oh, yeah, that's the kind of person we need for mayor. And he even offered to steal 50 cents a day off every person in the city.
That's why it's a ridiculous clip when they call the police on one candidate because they say she's a fringe candidate not invited to the debate, but they have this actually Ari Goldkind is on stage. And she even brings it up. She's like, why is Ari Goldkind on stage? She's not allowed. It's an empty seat. There's over 60 candidates for mayor, and now they say there's only three, and then sometimes they have Ari Goldkind as like as a fourth alternate. But there's, you know, there's like 66 candidates or something.
I mean, you don't hear anything from them, do you?
No. No, except for when, like, someone makes... Usually it's Kevin Clark that used to just get thrown out from debates. He'd show up and demand to be heard. Like,
oh, Kevin Clark, yeah.
But now it's this one, it wasn't Kevin Clark. It was actually a black woman. So it's an even bigger thing because it's like a, you know, it's supposed to be catering to... disadvantaged people of Toronto,
And then they're not, they're only going to let the elite candidates in. It's like,
because you got to be a member of the big club.
Yeah, that's what they say. You need you need over $1 million to actually run a campaign. That's what David Sucknacki dropped out. He had been allowed in all the debates, I guess, because he used to be a counselor.
Right. Yeah.
And he actually dropped out because he said he spent over $300,000 of his own money, and he had raised $100,000 in donations. So.
So
he figured he wasn't going to ever raise the million, so he just dropped out. He didn't want to spend that much, even though he's probably a rich guy too, like all these elite candidates. Because really, $300,000 is a huge investment for something that he only campaigned for, it's like 6 months or whatever.
Right.
That's a big thing to pay for 6 months of your time. You know, you get a lot of publicity if you become one of the chosen candidates or whatever, but
yeah. So it doesn't cost you hardly any money to throw your hat in there.
No, $200.
Yeah, $200, but everything else is going to cost you an arm and a leg eventually.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, so that's why they should just raise the price to get in, because if you have to have $1 million to be considered a mainstream candidate, then why would you have a $200 entrance fee?
But what about Chow Se Tung? Did she have to pay the fee, or did she? She
paid the $200, but she's got. They estimate she's not rich, but she just wrote her. She just had her book published, so she's got those residuals coming in. And then I guess she also gets some of Jack Layton's pension, because she's the widow of Jack Layton.
True.
And basically, after just a year or two as a member of parliament, you start getting that you're qualified for the pension, right? And then they've each put in a lot of years. The more years you put in, I think, the more you get.
Yeah. So other than that, she didn't have any pension from her husband and or anything else, and she wouldn't have threw her hat in. So she was smart in doing what she did, because she knew, well, I'm going to become mayor or try to become mayor by throwing my hat in there, and I got... And my husband's gone. I'm going to have a pension from him, so I'm ready to go. Other than that, she wouldn't be running.
Yeah. Yeah, and they encouraged her to, because of all the scandals with Rob Ford. They were saying, oh, Chow won't have the scandals. But really, they've exposed a bunch of scandals with her, with their radical protest element.
A new world order. A world
where the rule of law... End of the show, guys. Today?
Occupy Hong Kong. Natistan edition.
We think first of vague words that are synonyms for progress and pair them with footage of a high-speed train. Science is doing lots of stuff that may or may not have anything to do with us. See how this guy in a lab coat holds up a beaker? That means we do research. But we also do business in the USA, or want you to think we do. Check out this wind energy thing in Indiana. And this blue-collar guy with dirt on his face. Lest you think we're a faceless entity, look at all these attractive people. Using a specific ratio of Asian people to black people to women to white men, we want to make sure we represent your needs and interests, or at least a version of your skin color in our ads. Did we put a baby in here? Yep.